Well, I am David Alexiev. I am still the children's pastor of this church for another few weeks, and I'm very blessed to be that. I just finished my first camp as the Montana Student Ministries Director. It was the senior high camp. They had 601 campers and leaders there. I'll tell you what, it feels comfortable in here. I know that we were worshiping the Lord, but it felt like Hades in that worship center. I'll tell you what, it was hot. And so I think I probably drank at least 5 bottles of water per night per service. So it was an awesome week. We had an amazing time there. And I just want to share something with you guys. First service was the first people to hear this, but you're the second. Just some things that happened in camp and why camp is so important. For the first time ever, 28 people gave their life to Jesus. That's awesome. 185 rededicated their lives, 96 baptisms in the Holy Spirit, 102 healings, and 59 call to ministry. That's just the beginning of an awesome summer for Glacier Bible Camp and what we have going on up there. Speaking of Pat Lanois, I spoke with him last week because he's a youth pastor right now, and he's being saved by becoming a children's pastor. And so... So children's ministry is still going to be my heart, but I am lucky and blessed to lead the leaders of the state. But he is beyond excited. He can't get here fast enough, folks. He can't wait to be part of the staff, to be part of the church family. And I believe that God has prepared this place for him to take kids' ministries to the next level. Yeah, it's good, yeah. Someone told him he's got big shoes to fill, and I told that person, no, he does not. I wear Converse. They're skinny. He has a great church to be a part of and to build from. And so I'm beyond excited for what God has for him. And you know what? I'm thankful that I get to be here for a couple more weeks so I can vote on the Summit Church thing. Because I'm excited, church, about what God's going to do here at this church. And I'm excited. I'm excited. Today I want to talk about a hero of faith. That's in the Bible. And we're going to talk about Barnabas. And he's a great man who served in the shadow of Paul. And so this morning I'm going to read from Acts chapter 11. We're going to read it from the Bible. And I made some errors in my notes first service, and I went back and corrected them so that we won't, anyway. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 11, verse 19 through 30. And it says this, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word among the Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, the prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus," it's a pretty cool name, "stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. They did this, sending their gifts and elders by Barnabas and Saul." Barnabas was a person in the shadows. That's where he lived. And he's an unsung hero. And the thing that I love about Barnabas is that he just kept going. When I think about men and women in the Bible that were in their shadows, I think of this. I think we'll be surprised when we get to the judgment seat of Christ and what rewards they will receive and what rewards we will receive. Don't ever forget that God is the one keeping record. We can keep as many records here on earth, and we can be charting up like that person and that person and that person and that person and that person, but just remember this, God's keeping your record. You may never stand on the stage and preach the gospel, but you may work in a place where you get to preach the gospel every single day. And God knows that. Not even a cup of water will go unrewarded. Barnabas is truly one of the great unsung heroes. He worked in the shadow of Paul. Think about that for a second. Probably one of the greatest disciples, one of the greatest missionaries in the Bible. And Barnabas worked under him, worked right alongside of him, as a matter of fact, in many things. We hear a lot about his ministry, Paul's, but we don't hear a lot about Barnabas. So who was Barnabas? Well, we know a lot more when we look in the Bible what it has to say about him. The Word of God paints a beautiful picture that was lived out in obedience to Jesus Christ. First of all, his name was Joseph, which means one who increases, a getter, a header. They nicknamed him Barnabas, one who encourages others. He was a devout Jew, raised in a devout Jewish family. He was wealthy with worldly goods before he came to Christ. He was one of the first ones saved in Jerusalem after our Lord's ascension. Today, we're going to talk about a few things about Barnabas, 15 of them. We're not going to drag on about it. We're going to talk about 15 things. There's probably 100 things that we could talk about this man, but these are the ones I want to talk about. Excuse me. If you turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37, it will give us just a small bit of Barnabas. And this is what it says. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom all the disciples called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold the field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. When Barnabas gave his life to Christ, he was all in. He didn't just say a bit of me, a piece of me. He gave it all. He sold his land and moved. Are there any landowners in this building? There's a few of you. If right now God said, sell it all and follow me, would you think twice? Because he didn't. He moved right away. He gave it all to Christ. He sold out. This is where most people probably have a problem. We want to have Jesus, but we want to hold on to the world. Jesus, the man said, arise and take up your pallet and walk. To many people, we want to follow Jesus, but we leave the car running outside. I'm there. Oh, I don't really like what's going on in the church. That song was not what I would have sang. That children's ministry has got loud music downstairs. He said, take offering instead of receive offering. I got to leave. We leave the car running. Or we come up and we have the car parked and it's off, but the key's ready to do the remote start. I'm out. That wasn't Barnabas. He was all in, 100%. If there was more percentage that he could give, he would have given it. Number two, he was an apostle. Verse 22 says, and they sent forth Barnabas. The disciples were ones that Jesus sent forth. He was sent forth. Everywhere he went, every time you see his name, it said he's being sent forth and going. He was sent forth by the church in Jerusalem. He was sent forth to find Saul of Tarsus. And he was sent forth, thank you very much, by the Antioch church. He was sent forth by the Holy Spirit. In trueness, he was a missionary. Think about this for a second. If right now Pastor Lance asked you to find the most dangerous person in America, sometimes, find me. Good luck. But he's got a specific set of skills that he's been training anyway. But he said, right now, I'm sending you to find that person. And that person is out there killing people. And he's got people that help kill people and people that help them kill people and beyond that. But you got sent to find him. Are you going to want a specific amount of weaponry? You going to want some helpers? I think so, but he didn't. He just went. He chased after him. History teaches that the first century church was going forth in origination. They built the first church in the third century, and Christians went in and sat down and have been sitting ever since. Hey, brother. Only a few people stand in this room right now. We come in and we sit. The commission says, as you are going. One of the great verses about the first century church is found in Acts 4. It says, therefore, they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. They didn't come to a place. They didn't come to a building. They went out and preached the word. They didn't stay confined to a beautiful building or anything like that. They went out. The great misunderstanding that we have as a 20th century church is that we've gotten this idea when we come in and sit down in our chairs in this church, that's our service to God. We check the box off for the week. That's the beginning of our week. I came in, I did my church thing. Now I can go back to the rest of what I do. But church, this is just a building. Without you, it's just a building. Let's be honest. In a couple of years, you can be in a new place, and this would just become a rec center or something. Is it a church or a building? We are the church, and we come in as the church and make this building the church. We come together to worship, and that's a good thing because the Bible talks about us coming together. But our field is out there. Some of you may be from Livingston, your field is there. Some of you from Bozeman, your field is there. Some from Three Forks and beyond, that's your field. The third thing about Barnabas is this. He was able to see God in the situations of life. Verse 23 says, who, when he came, had seen the grace of God? Let me tell you that if you want to make it work in the work of the Lord, if you want to make it your life, you got to see God's grace in all the things that you do. The first thing we should ask in every situation in life, where is God in this? Where is God in my situation? When we started the process of becoming the student ministries directors, I had no idea that I would become the person. As a matter of fact, I discredited myself many, many times. I'm not good enough. I'm just a children's pastor. I don't have the education. I don't have the experience. All these kinds of things. But if people, as my friends were telling me, we could see this process happening. As soon as Dan Libby resigned, Pastor Missy called me and said, are you the next guy? No. No was the word, right? And an adamant no. And many people over time, you think you put your name into it. No, 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 no. Until God said, it's okay. I didn't see the hand there. And I didn't say, where is God in this? But as I cried out and said, hey, what is going on? I cannot go all the way back to Stone Church and God preparing me for this. Because I didn't want to leave that church, but God brought me here. And when he said, David, I want to use you in the Gallatin Valley, I didn't know that what the Gallatin Valley was. And now God says, David, I want to use it in Montana and beyond. I'm a little scared, to be honest. I am. But in every situation, we say, God, where are you in this? That's going to be my first cry. Is this you, Lord? He had a joyful disposition. Verse 23 said he had the joy of the Holy Spirit. When he came and he saw the grace of God, he was glad. Isn't it interesting how God managed to sandwich those little bits about a person in his word? He was a person with joy. Can I tell you this? If you have Christ, you have joy in you. Happiness is what comes out of our life. I can't take credit for that. John Smart met with me after service. He said, hey, we all have joy if we have the Holy Spirit, if we have the Lord. But happiness is what we choose to come out of us. Don't you just love about being around somebody that has just this joy-filled personality? Everything's upbeat. Everything's good. It doesn't matter how bad things are. It's still good. Don't you want to hang around people like that all the time? I do. I know I do. I don't like sad Sallys. I like super Steves, all right? Seriously, have you ever been in a room where you walked in and you knew there was doom and gloom in there? You're like, man, where is the lightning bolt going to come from? Last night I was driving back from camp, and I took the scenic route, and I got into a lightning storm, and it was eerie. It was scary. You didn't know where the lightning was coming from. It would flash over here, flash over here. Everything would go white. At one time, I thought I was going to see a clown sign on the road, but yeah, it didn't. It was eerie, but it was doom and gloom there. It was a little scary. I changed my radio station from just regular music to some worship music because, like, this is scary. I don't want to be around doom and gloom. If you live a joyful life, you will not do it by accident. David said, he knew this in the Old Testament when he said this. This is the day which the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad. And that's from Psalm 118:24. There are no days that God does not make. I'm going to say it again. There are no days that God does not make. There are no accidents in a day. The very day the Lord ordered it just like it is. The bad day, the Lord made it. The good day, the Lord made it. The sick day, the Lord made it. The happy day, the Lord made it. It is his day, And he wants you to rejoice and be glad in it. If you rejoice, you will do it by determination. Devil, you won't make me lose my job. Circumstances, you won't make me lose my joy. People, you won't make me lose my joy. Things, you won't make me lose my joy. Why? My joy comes from the Lord. He was an encourager. Last service, I said he was an extorter. I just took that out. He was an encourager. When he came and he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all with the purpose of the heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. The word exhort means to encourage. Wherever he was an encouragement to the people. If you can't encourage people, don't discourage people. I'm convinced this, that people really believe that they have the gift of discouragement. You laugh. I have the gift of discouragement. Well, I don't want those people in my life. Amen. Stay far, far away from me, or else we're going to have some serious battles because I am an encourager. That's one of the gifts that God has given me, and I love that about Barnabas in here, because then I know that there's a person in the Bible, and really there are some discouragers in here, but they're mostly encouragers. The world is already filled with enough discouragers and things and circumstances to discourage you. Right now, we do not have a home. We moved out of our place on June 30th, and we moved to Billings August 5th. We have no house. I am not discouraged. I am not afraid, because the Lord is the one moving us, and the Lord is the one who will take care of us. Amen? Amen. Purpose in your heart to encourage. Be an encourager. It's easy. How many? I think about it a lot. How can I encourage someone today? I pay attention to what people wear. Pastor Lance walked in with this fine shirt on this morning. It's a good-looking shirt. It's a birthday shirt. I was like, I've seen that shirt before. That shirt used to be in my closet, and I never wore it. I love looking at people dress. And this week at camp, you know, kids come into service all dressed up. They're dressed up, looking good. And I especially picked out the boys that people normally wouldn't look at and say, man, you look good. You're looking good for God tonight. Big old smile on their face. It was awesome. He lived his life with a very purpose. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with a purpose of heart, that they would cleave unto the Lord. Knowing Jesus, being saved and baptized, being part of the New Testament church, working in that church was not only bringing joy to him, but it brought purpose to his life. It made life worth living again. Now, he had tons of finances. He was well-to-do. But Jesus made his life worth it. I don't know all the things that he was before he was saved, but he was like Paul. And Paul said this, for me to live with Christ, I count everything else like a pile of dung. He had found a pearl of great price and had paid it all to obtain it. The next thing he was not a quitter. And this verse keeps building, Acts 11:23. When he came, had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. With that purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. They would cleave means they would be glued together to hang on for dear life. How many of you guys, when you get drugged through the mud, let go sometimes? Yeah. We get drugged through the mud sometimes. We're just like, I can't do this anymore. I let go. And all of a sudden, we're stuck in the mud. There's a saying that went around for a while. It was, when you come to a good end of your rope, tie a knot and hang on. Doesn't matter how hard it hurts, hold on to it. This is the way you live a consistent life in Christ. Hang on. Hang on, church. God is doing something at this church right now that's going to be different in 6 months. Church, hang on. If you let go, you might miss out on something pretty stinking amazing. And you might be sitting on the bench going, dang it. I want to play. But I promise you, those doors right there will be open for you to come back and be part of the team. But if you hold on, you won't miss anything. This is the way to a successful marriage. Hang on. I'm coming up on 19 years. Yeah, come on. 19 years. I never would imagine I'd be married for one, let alone 19. Hang on. There are highs and lows. If you're a young person in this room and you're not married and you plan on getting married, know this. There are highs and there are lows and there are middles. Just hang on. You might be sitting in this room going, you know what, I'm ready to let go. Just hang on. The way you remain faithful in church, just hang on. The way you finish your daily work, just hang on. The way you finish anything to tackle any problem, just hang on. It's easy to quit. Quitting's easy. I've quit lots of diets. It is so easy to pull into a taco place and eat. I'm telling you, it's so easy to have a salad with lots of dressing on top. This last week, they had a snack shack, which was an awesome place. And after all the students, After all the students would go to bed, they would make special burgers for the adults with bacon and mushrooms and all that. Oh, I tell you, it was amazing. So I had one every night. And that was at 12:30 a.m. The last night, they had tri-tip on top of the burger. Smothered in cheese, not just regular cheese, but they had that nacho cheese that comes from the machine. If I would have been on a diet, that would have been an easy quit. But right now I'm not on a diet, so I can eat what I want. The next part is this: he was a good man. We're going to move over to verse 24. And full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. He did the next right thing. Not just the right thing, but the next one. A good man is hard to find. I heard that all my life. And when people would say stuff about, like, my mom would say, a good man is hard to find. A good man is hard to find. And that's probably why it took her five husbands to get there. She finally found a good man. It means that he wanted to do things the right way. This is standing on principle. Do things that are right just because it's the right things to do. It may not be the best. It may not be the most popular. It may not be the cheapest. It may not be the easiest way to do it. But you'll never go wrong in the eyes of God if you do it the right way, the good way. 9, he walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit. It means that he was a man possessed by the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. There's that joy again. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was faithful. There are many people in this church that have been here a long, long time, and they've gone through a lot of stuff, and they're faithful to the church. Thank you. Without you, this church would not be here. Thank you for your faithfulness. There are going to be new people that will come into this church over the next couple years. And 50, 60 years down the road, they're going to be, I remember when we changed the name of the church. I remember. And here's why we did it. And here's why we're changing the name of our church now. I've talked with my kids leaders about this. Stay faithful to the church. Because if you leave kids ministries when I leave, you're only faithful to me. And I tell you this, they've all said they're going to stay on. Which gives Pat a great place to build from, because that man is faithful. He'll share his story when he gets here. He's a faithful, faithful man. There are no such thing as big, important men and women in faith of God. And there's no such thing as little and insignificant men and women in the work of God. They're only faithful and unfaithful. There's no middle area. 11, he was influential in causing others to want to come to Jesus. Verse 24, many were added. And he helped Saul become Paul. What if he would have disobeyed? A lot of chapters in this Bible wouldn't be here. What if he wouldn't have obeyed? He was an important piece of Paul changing his life. Acts 11:25, they departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Paul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. He could have found him and said, you know what, I'm going to kill him. This dude's killed enough of my brothers and sisters. He said, I don't care, I'm done. But he didn't. He practiced faithful church attendance. You're here. It's easy in this time of year where it's so beautiful to be outside to go hike along a creek. And it's so easy in the winter because there's two phenomenal ski areas around here to say, I'm going to go. And really, there's only two seasons, summer and winter. Really, it's winter and road construction. Let's be honest. That little orange cone comes out, you know the Montana state flower's here. But he practiced faithfulness. You are here. Thank you. A lot of times people thank us for being here, but thank you for being here. He was a teacher as well as a preacher. He taught many people. And finally, he was successful. This is the important piece. He was successful in helping the Lord's people get the best name they could ever have received, Christian. How many of you don't say I'm a Christian? You don't have to raise your hands. My hand's up sometimes. We can look, be looked upon because we're a Christian. Man, the Christians are, they're bad. Christians are this, Christians are that, Christians are this. Well, church, we need to stand up and say, I am a Christian. I am a Christ-following human being. I'm not a robot. I'm not pre-programmed. My God, the one who gave his son, Christ, for me, he created me to be an individual, and I have free will. But I choose to follow Christ. I choose to be a Christian. So will you choose to be a Barnabas today? Will you choose to help people get the best name they could ever receive? Will you choose to be a teacher? You don't have to stand on this stage to proclaim the word of God. You don't have to. Your life can be a living testimony of God's word. Will you practice faithful church attendance? I don't mean just once a month. I don't mean twice a month. I mean every week. I'm not saying every time the doors open, because we do need times where we have away times. But will you be faithful here? Will you help those that are the least likely? The ones you don't want to see come to Christ. Because there's people like, oh, I just can't wait till they go. No, we have to chase after those people more than anything. Just like he chased after Saul so he could become Paul, he did that. Will you be influential in causing others? You're just your life, like I said before, successful in helping people get there. You may not be see that person come to know the Lord, but you could be a piece of that pie. You could be the crust and the filling, but somebody else may lead them to the topping. I like pie. Will you be faithful? Will you stay faithful? Will you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? Would somebody say of you, that person is full of love. That person is full of joy. That person actually has a lot of patience. Has anybody ever prayed for patience in this room? Don't ever, ever challenge God that way. Because he will put you in a situation that you need to be patient. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control is a big one for people to see. We all know I like tacos. But you have to have self-control. He was a good man. Do people see you as a good person? Where you do things right. Not when people are watching, but all the time. Will you not quit? Will you not give up? Will you hold on? Will you live a life with purpose? Will you be an encourager? Will you have a joyful disposition? Will happiness come out of you 98% of the time? Will you be able to see God in all situations of your life? Why God? What's going on? Where are you, God, in this situation? Will you be an apostle? Will you be a missionary to this valley? And most importantly, will you give it all when it comes to Christ? Will you bow your heads? Father, we thank you for your love, and I thank you for my friends in this church today and those that could not be here today. Lord, I pray that you would just bless them. Lord, there may be people in this room today that have never given their lives to you, Lord, and I pray today that you would meet them in this place. Lord, you are a life changer and a life giver. And Lord, there may be people that have not given it their all to you. They're still holding on to something. Lord, I pray that you would help them to release that today. Lord, maybe we be like Barnabas. All of these things, may we be just like him. We don't need to be in the spotlight. We don't have to be our big name on a board. We just want to do good things for you, Lord. And we want lives to be truly changed. God, today we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like prayer for anything this morning, our prayer team will be up here to pray with you. Nothing else. God bless you. Have an amazing week, and we'll see you back next Sunday. Amen.